I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The smartest show in the Bay Area.
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, LFG, let's do this. Thursday, come on. Warriors undefeated. Here we go. That was fun last night, and we're not going to forget about the Niners and the Cowboys. I don't know about you, Dibs, today, and this is part of the reason why Thursdays are my favorite. Whatever happened last weekend, and in this particular case, it was painful, it was annoying, it was awful, like, although the rest of my weekend was absolutely perfect, but the Niner part of it, like, it took me until I woke up today and I went, all right, I'm over it. Let's go. Cowboys are coming to town. It took till today.
Yeah. I mean,
now it's okay. It's okay now. It's okay.
Well, for me, it's one thing to get over it, and it's another thing for it to be okay, and it's really not okay. If you lose to Dallas, it becomes less okay.
But that's an if.
And I think it piles on the fact that you lose to the Rams in Arizona. If you would have beaten Kansas City and Dallas and you're 5-3, those become more okay. But losing to Kansas City, and if you lose again and you're 3-5, the it's okay becomes harder for
you. Yeah, but you threw another if in there.
Because nothing's okay.
But it hasn't happened yet. My point is I think that they are going to win Sunday. And I think that they are still in line to save the season. But we wanted to start off with this and really find out how this is grabbing people. And I haven't gone too deep even with you, Dibs, and how this grabs you. But listen to the chef talk after last night's game about the locker room and the rotation. I want everybody, whatever you're doing, listen closely. This is a very important premise, I think, that affects not last night's game, all the games. Everything that we're going to talk about with Warrior basketball for the whole year, I think, is tucked into this comment from Steph Curry. Take a listen.
Our energy has been great from day one of training camp. It's a beautiful locker room. Guys that are happy to be here, happy to play the way that we do. I understand everybody can get an opportunity. Coach has done a pretty good job of explaining, you know, the situation we're all in, like in a positive way of, again, how many guys he would like to play and how many guys can play. And to your point, you have to have, again, a commitment and no agendas, no egos, or healthy egos of when you're out there, like, you know you're supposed to be out there, but if it's not your night, you can't bring the team down with your energy. I haven't seen any red flags with that.
Holy crap. There's like four or five different phrases there.
Well, the last one is the one for me. When you're not having a good night and you're not going to bring the energy down.
You can't bring everybody down.
That for me is the most pointed at Clay.
Okay.
Because last year there was five or six other things that were distractible and they became distractions.
Do you know what I'm starting to learn in listening to a lot of others who are really, really close to this team and then also just using my own eyes and ears? This wasn't just last year.
It was, of course,
the year before that too.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
So now it's when it's not your night, don't bring everyone down. No egos, healthy egos.
Right.
It's a beautiful locker room, he said. It's a beautiful locker room with people who want to be here. Now, listen, I get it. On the first day of school, you almost always like your teacher. And then things happen. And sometimes by January, you're like, I don't like this person anymore.
Not my third grade teacher, Miss McIntyre, rest in peace.
Right out the gate, you didn't like her?
She was awful. And she was probably 70 then. She might, if she's still alive, she's at least a buck 10. Just mean, like old school mean. And fish, like an old tuna fish sandwich.
Ooh.
The worst. Ew. But anyway.
Anyway.
But for the most part, yes. Love your teacher. First day of school.
And it's the first day of school. Although, they've played one game. They've been together now for 6 weeks.
That first day of school was all recess yesterday. No learning.
Sure. I mean, they played the Portland Blazers. So it was kind of dodgeball with the fourth graders playing the second graders. That's fine. I get it. But there are some very key phrases in there. And while there's zero part of me that thinks Steph Curry woke up yesterday, won a basketball game, and then went, cool, next on my to-do list is, let's go rip Klay Thompson to the media. I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like that at all. But good Lord, it feels that way. I can't escape the feel of all these comments, and he's not alone. Steve Kerr made some of them to us the other day. Buddy Hield sounded like it, and he didn't even play with Klay Thompson. But everything I'm hearing and feeling from this team, when they tell us what matters to them and what's going on behind the scenes, feels like they're all saying, thank God he's gone.
I think it's more than just he's gone. And that is, I think, the headline of what's different last year to this year. But there's a lot more to it than that. And I'm just remembering when it all happened. And Draymond Green was inactive for two. He played six, was inactive for another, played three, and then he got suspended on November 16th. His first of two suspensions. So as far as things that hung over the team last year, that was a month into it. And you started the year with a lot of losses, the Klay situation. Chris Paul came in and he fit for the most part, but he knew that he was going to be there for 1 year and gone. And he probably was already getting ready for the next thing in his world. And you had other parts of the team, I think, that were more unsettled than just Klay Thompson and his negative energy.
No, listen, I don't think anything in a locker room or a season, nothing is ever one person's fault. Like, that's too simplistic. There's so many things going on in a season. But it doesn't change for me the feeling that they feel, thank God he's gone. I don't know, and I don't even think, like, I'm sure if any one of them were on the phone with us right now or sitting next to us, they'd be like, no, that's not how it feels. I'm just here to tell them it sounds like that.
God he's gone is a little too strong for me, but reminds me of, for example, when you have a kid who graduates high school in June and they don't get to start college until September and they just cannot wait to be independent and they cannot wait to get out on their own. And so from June to September, that last summer when they're home and they have to live under mom and dad's roof and mom and dad's rules, it can be awkward and they can't wait to leave. And deep down, the parents are also eager for you to go. When do the dorms open? Because I can't wait to drop you off.
Sure.
And so it's a little bit of that. Not thank God you're gone, but it was time for him to go somewhere else. It was time for them to have him be somewhere else. And yet you had to play a whole season of this cat and mouse game where he turns down a contract and then there's no other contract and he's playing poorly and he's not happy. And if he's not happy, you're not happy because the three of them, Steph, Klay, and Dre, they've been Steph, Klay, and Dre for the better part of a decade. And so to see your brother go through it and kind of put you through it too, it makes it so, yeah, not thank God he's gone, but thank God we can all turn the page.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. You know, it feels like a teen movie. Every teen movie has the exact same premise, right? Guy has the crush on the captain of the cheer squad type of a girl, the unreachable, just absolute visual perfection, and he's chasing the entire time and chasing and chasing, and it turns out that friend of his, the one that's just kind of cute, who's been sitting next to him all along, and at some point we'll get a makeover about 90 minutes into the film, and you realize that she's actually drop-dead gorgeous too, and that's the one that you should have been with all along.
This is some kind of wonderful.
Thank you.
Eric Stoltz.
Perfect. Stop chasing this name value of Clay, is the team much happier to have, for example, happy-go-lucky Buddy Buckets,
yep,
who the Sacramento Kings fans hate because apparently he doesn't understand basketball or something like that. But my God, he can shoot it and he smiles. So listen to Buddy Hield. Ask what it takes to be a part of a rotation so big.
First of all, you start off liking each other. I think everybody has the right personalities. Everybody comes in and, there's no egos. And plus, me coming here, there's a standard that these guys go by, and it's championship. They've done the work. So no matter what you say is wrong, because whatever they say is right, and you just go by that. And you learn and you listen and you try to observe everything, and you just try to figure out how to apply myself into their like uniqueness and how I can be effective.
All I can say is, if everything I've ever heard from the last 2 years of Klay Thompson had an opposite, that was it. Like, listen to him. The first thing we got to do is like each other. And then the next thing you do is do whatever the hell Steve, Steph, and Draymond tell you to, because they're right.
Yeah, they've done it, they've won, and they have a culture, and they have a system. And that's what you do when you're a new player coming in. And I also think that if you look at the roster, contract-wise, there's almost no uncertainty about the future. Yes, Jonathan Kuminga is the big one.
Sure.
Is he going to get Golden State Warriors extension money? Is he going to have to go somewhere else? That is the big one. DeAnthony Melton's on a one-year deal, but if he does Melton things, he's going to get a contract similar to the one he got this year, and virtually everyone else is either from here, loved here, or they have a long-term deal. So there isn't that, you know, overarching, I need to get mine part of this. Kuminga's going to be the interesting one to watch.
For sure. For sure. It took one night for us to be like, is Jonathan going to like this? I didn't. There's nothing bad that happened last night other than the fact that he didn't look really good. And that's not going to get under my skin yet. Maybe. I had questions about Jonathan Kuminga before this year, so they carry over. I'm certainly not going to write him off after one night, but there are concerns there or questions there, no doubt. But yes, we're talking about someone who had his agent make a phone call to NBA reporters so that they could tweet that he's lost faith in Steve Kerr to be the person that oversees his development going forward. That happened. That happened less than a year ago. And then apparently they all made nice, and then Jonathan got minutes, and so now apparently it's okay. But I think all of us are fair to have that thought that you just put out there in our bellies. Wait a minute, now you're going to do a 12-man rotation, and no one's going to do more than 25 minutes, and Jonathan's going to score 10 and look woefully outplayed by Mr. I don't know where he is, Mr. Let's give up on him, Andrew Wiggins, looked way better than Jonathan Kuminga last night. How many more games like this before Jonathan starts feeling some type of way again?
Well, there's going to be measures that are taken. If he has games like last night on the regular, well, then he won't be starting, and he'll be getting back to where he was a couple of postseasons ago, where his minutes were really reduced, and Steve's going to have to coach him up. And we all have to remember how young Jonathan Kuminga still is, not only chronologically, but basketball-wise. A guy who never played in college. He played one year of G League, and then now he's with the championship team. He's a very young basketball player.
Kurt Warner's going to join us in 45 minutes, okay? We got all kinds of great stuff today. We'd really love to hear from you coming up next. Does it feel like, in some sort of way, without them doing it on purpose, that the Warriors are collectively saying, thank goodness that we've moved on? 888-957-9570 is the number, and we're not done yet. Wait till you hear what Monty Poole said to us yesterday. Wait till you hear what Steve Kerr said to us 2 days ago, that all has the exact same sound. It's Willard and Dibbs.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. grabs it. He's guarded by Scoot Henderson. Over to Hield. He'll fire away. Three ball. Good for Buddy Hield. It is a 12-1 run for Golden State.
Hey, Harry, it's Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willib and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, side question. What is it about Buddy Hield that that people have not liked in his past lives? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's broken. It's broke. I got a dangler here.
Can I take a picture of you so people who just listen on the radio and then, like, we'll put it on Twitter or whatever like that?
Sure. How about like this?
Yeah.
Well, does that work for you?
It's better if you, like,
like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Like that.
For those who aren't seeing this, my headphones, one of the ears has broken.
It's just hanging off the side of your head.
And it's the plastic that is broken. There's no more, like, snapping it back in. It is broken.
Okay.
So.
But you can hear out the left side of your face.
I can hear out both sides.
Yeah.
But
and I'm also sitting right here, so you can hear me.
Right.
It's just that if Grandy or Steven or you know, the voice of God, if anybody wants to talk to you during the show.
Yeah, callers, 888-957-9570.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Then that's where you're
I'm limited, yeah.
You're Mr. One Ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always go one ear anyway. My other ear is never, the headphone is never on my ear.
Well, then who cares?
Right. It's more aesthetics and comfort because now the plastic is jabbing into my skull.
Well, okay.
You want a new one?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm fine.
All right.
Not some candy. Candy, you know what? I'll tough it out.
Okay, you better. Don't come calling to me in like an hour.
I got my own self taken care of, Brandon.
Oh, boy, no,
I
you
come
are.
I'm crying to you, of all people.
You are a you're a picture of stick-to-itiveness right now.
Always have been. Toughness,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Determination.
Didn't
get here, you know, walk in with some perfect deep voice and steely blue eyes. I've had to grind. Captain Deep Voice, Mr. Handsome.
See, now that's what it feels like the Warriors are doing. That felt directed at me.
It was.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Sorry, yeah.
I should be more veiled.
Hi, I'd like to work in radio.
You're hired! Meanwhile,
That's actually that's pretty much how it went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Best day of the week.
Thank you. Trying to get to me. You're not gonna today. Big day for me.
Yeah, we might. We might. My prediction, by 5:40, you'll be so pissed that you won't even be here anymore.
I like that. Yeah.
That's my prediction.
It's a good prediction.
All right.
Yeah.
So if anybody listens.
Well, my lock will probably be down 14-0 at that point. The pick is in, and I'll save it for later.
Is in?
The pick is in.
We're fading the Dibbers tonight.
Yeah,
are the Vikings
a
three-point favorite? Is that what we're doing about? Something like that? Are they a three-point favorite tonight? Be careful.
Sounds about right.
Be careful about them home dogs.
Yep.
Then you look at that. You look at that and you're like, what?
Yeah.
The Vikings are going to kill the Rams.
I see Vikings by 2.5.
God.
But Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are back.
Oh, while we're there, can I get a collective? Because, Dibs, you already gave me your answer, and thank you for that. This is totally selfish, but let me borrow 20 seconds for this. Grandy, Steven, everybody, please, listeners, text, call, tweet, whatever. Fantasy situation. I got a league. It's a big league. We play a lot of people, okay? Puka's been on IR the whole year. Team's doing very well. First place team. So I just get the news about an hour and a half ago. Puka Nacua has been activated. It's an activation sensation.
That's a buck.
And so
cha-ching!
I got a flex spot. He's been activated. I got a flex spot that I could put him into. Juwan Jennings was in that spot. Juwan's probably not going to play. So, but here's the other option. The other option is Bucky Irving. And they're wearing creamsicles this weekend against the Falcons. Timeshare running back Tampa Bay. Or do you think Puka's even a better option than the other three starting receivers on the team, which is Amari Cooper, Brian Thomas, and DJ Moore? Do I play him? Yes or no? Grandy?
I have Puka in a couple of leagues. I'm not playing him.
You're
tonight.
Not playing him?
Yeah.
Scared.
He's not going to play a full complement of snaps.
Do you know
and
that?
Cooper Kupp is back
Do
as well.
Do you know that?
I feel very confident that he will.
But no one has said that to you. Adam Schefter, Bruce Horses, he has not said. Puka's
there are some,
on.
I'll find the exact source. There are some sources who have said that he's probably not going to play full
okay.
snaps.
Anybody else want to weigh in? Steven, you want to weigh in on this?
I'm going to take the side of the creamsicles.
Okay, you're going Bucky Irving?
Yeah, I told you off the air, Bucky Irving.
You said Bucky Irving?
Bucky Irving is their red zone main guy on the ground, I've seen.
They do. They run them all.
Well, they've got no receivers anymore, so I feel
they're
going to probably throw it to him out of the backfield a little bit.
Maybe. That's a good point. Half point PPR. Not full.
Okay.
Anyway, if anybody wants to weigh in on that, I would love your help.
Mike Garofolo certainly won't be a full slate of reps for Puka Nacua, though he and the Rams feel good about his knee.
Huh.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got some time to consider it. And you've got some time to consider this, okay? This is Steve Kerr on Tuesday with us. I asked him the question, does the locker room feel a lot lighter? This is what he said.
No, I think that is fair. And you know, every year is a little different, and you can't always control all that stuff. So you're constantly hoping that you get a group in a good vibe and in a good place, and that's where we've been with this year's team and camp. There's a really good sense of we've got a chance to prove people wrong and to have a really good team, and we got a lot of guys who are excited to be here, and I know I'm excited. I this is year 11 for me, which is crazy, but wow. I'm feeling refreshed and ready to go and really excited about this season.
Okay. And again, I want to back up the Steph Curry thing that we played for you a bit ago and has gone very, very viral so far today, where he says this is a beautiful locker room and no egos and people who want to be here. And if you have a bad night, don't bring the whole team down. I don't think at all that Steph was knowingly out there firing on Clay. I don't think that. But in some way, indirectly, it feels that way. It's hard as a Warrior fan to not hear all this and go, oh, they feel so good about the kumbaya of everything. What's different? Well, it's very obvious what's different. Klay Thompson's not on the team anymore.
Right, and Chris Paul, and that's about it. Usman Garuba and Dario Saric, I don't know if they were heavy drains on the overall vibe, and it's a guy who had been there for more than a decade and somebody who had won 4 championships and somebody who got into a skirmish early in the year, which resulted in Draymond Green choking out Rudy Gobert and getting suspended, and Klay played with an edge unlike any that we've seen, and his year ended in the worst possible way where he didn't make a field goal in a play-in game, and so you could see it. The energy that he was giving off was not as carefree and positive and joyous as what we were used to, so yeah, when he's not in the locker room anymore and you bring in 3 veterans who want what they've had, a championship, they've got hunger and they're ready to play their role, it's a completely different feel in there.
I mean, what if we almost sort of like evolved the question that we're even asking? Like, we're all Warrior fans, not all of you listening, but a lot of you. Like, are you now, and what's the word I want to use here? Are you glad that he's gone? Are you relieved that he's gone? Are you, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. How do you feel about that? I've sort of arrived at a spot where it's something beyond at peace with it. Yeah, I mean, if you're a big-time Warrior fan, you love the guy.
You always will.
Yeah, he's achieved too much. And even if whatever it was that went wrong the last 2 years, hell, it's not like he, it's not like he punched someone. It's not, right? He didn't break a law. You know, we did plenty of shows earlier this year. I can remember the rant that I went on where I'm like, dude, why do you feel like you're so mad all the time? And now it's like, oh, he was. It didn't feel that way. It was that way. He was that mad. And so there's a piece of me that's like, I'm glad he's gone because I think he wants to be gone. But now I'm very quickly arriving at, I think that this is way better for Warrior basketball.
And it's better for Klay Thompson. So I'm happy to the extent that he wanted to be somewhere else and they wanted to have different energy in the locker room. So it should be a win-win. Now, it's not a win-win if Klay turns out to be miserable there, or he doesn't play well, or maybe he plays so well that the Mavericks come back and knock off the Warriors in the playoffs. Whatever can still happen. Right now, the early returns are it's a win-win. Because all you've heard from Steve Kerr and then the Steph Curry cut that you just played, it feels like the energy in the room is completely different. That doesn't mean it's all on Clay. I do think that Draymond Green had a certain amount of a reality check where you got suspended twice, once for an entire month. And so I'd like to think that he's in a different place in his own career where He understands that you can't cross that line again. And Steph Curry, having won a gold medal, he has to have a certain amount of contentment about not only his legacy, that's already been cemented, but where he is now as a pro. And he got an additional year on his contract. And Wiggins has now been freed up, for lack of a better way to describe it. Yeah. But, you know, when you lose your father and it happens the way it happened, where his father's no longer in pain, that has a certain amount of freeing to it. And so I go across the board for a lot of these guys, and individually, they're in a better place. And then collectively, with the three vets coming in, a high IQ slow-mo, a bucket getting Buddy Hield, and DeAnthony Melton, who by all measurements is a really good two-way player, I think the team overall, top to bottom, got better, and the vibe certainly got better.
We're going to go to the phones in a second. Peep this. Check this out. Comcast Business text line. Listen to a few of these, the first ones that have come in. 925, yes, I'm glad he's gone. Met him several times. Sad to say he was a rude jerk. 650, 100% glad he's gone. Was bringing down the team mentally, bad mojo last few years. 510, it's okay that he's gone because he didn't want to be here anymore. And that's fine. Sometimes you need new scenery. Those are the first three that came in. If you're just joining us, here is the Steph Curry comment that kind of inspired this conversation.
Our energy has been great from day one of training camp. It's a beautiful locker room. Guys that are happy to be here, happy to play the way that we do. I understand everybody's going to get an opportunity. Coach has done a pretty good job of explaining, you know, the situation we're all in, like in a positive way of, again, how many guys he would like to play and how many guys can play. And to your point, you have to have, again, a commitment and no agendas, no egos, or healthy egos of when you're out there, like, you know you're supposed to be out there, but if it's not your night, you can't bring the team down with your energy. I haven't seen any red flags with that.
If it's not your night, you can't bring the team down with your energy.
Guys who are happy to be here, guys who are happy to play the way we want to play.
There are four comments in there that get my attention, but you're right. That one is, I think, the one that made people go, oh, that's Clay.
Right.
You're talking to Clay, even though I know you're not talking to Clay. Like, there's zero chance Steph Curry was like, I'm going to go find that microphone and I'm going to give Clay a little pow, a little rib shot, because we're 1-0. That's not Steph. That's not Steph. He's way too respectful, way too happy, has way too many awesome accomplishments and memories with Clay Thompson. But it's very difficult to hear him say that and not immediately think of Clay. That's the way I feel.
Absolutely. And you look at last year, and the only other people who were here were Chris Paul, and he was mostly, I think, kind of in the background emotionally. When he was healthy and he played, he was a net positive for what they were trying to do. But I don't ever remember a time where he was a drain on the emotions or the vibe. And, you know, Dario Saric played a lot early, and then he was relegated to the end of the bench. I don't think that he was, even if he was pouting, I don't think that he has the gravitas to affect the vibe in the locker room.
For sure not.
When you've got Klay Thompson, a four-time champ, who's desperate to try to find it again, and also pretty desperate to get that contract, because he made $43 million last year, and they offered him $27, reportedly, right? Or was it $28? Whatever it wasn't $43. So from that moment on, he played with a certain amount of anger. And I also think early in the year, especially, he was hunting his shot. And so when Steph says that, guys who want to be here, who are happy to be here and happy to play the way that we want to play, that's not the way that they normally would play, where you give it to Clay and he's trying to hunt for it because he wants to get that bag.
For sure. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, on the difference in the vibe.
Night and day. Everybody is really kind of spreading love toward everybody. It's like they've been at a kumbaya camp. A lot of the new guys that come in have made a difference. Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton. They came in and they've been professional. They've been affable and funny and everything. I mean, Buddy is like everybody's favorite friend now, Buddy Hield. So there's a different vibe. You know, and last year, obviously, you know, Clay went from being no maintenance early in his career to last year was a tough one for him. And that kind of was something that kind of permeated throughout the team, as well as Draymond's absences. So you look at what happened last year. I think this year the vibe is a lot more positive.
Okay. And I mean,
a lot.
Well,
not just a lot.
I'll let the listeners know. So Grandy's got some things organized here on our soundboard, and the ones that sort of feel like potentially someone is maybe referring to Clay. He's got those labeled in such a way. And he's like, you know, subtle jab at Clay here, subtle jab at Clay.
Oh, how funny.
Well, I'm like, that's not subtle at all. He used his name. Monty Poole's like, yeah, Clay went from no maintenance to all the maintenance. And now he's gone, so now it's not that way anymore. That's not subtle.
No.
I got the message. So,
and that's any workplace. And I think
for sure,
I think about this workplace before you even got here, when our new PD, look, took over, we had four or five employees who were negative energy. They were drains on the vibe. And over the course of time, look, the PD went about changing that culture slowly but surely. And now, if you look around the room, and you've been here now for more than 3 years, mm-hmm. we have a great culture. Everybody pulls for each other for the most part. Egos are mostly in check, and we all have each other's best interest at heart. And that makes a big difference when you come to work.
One more from Steve Kerr. We asked him about Buddy Hield. Listen to this.
Buddy is, number one, a breath of fresh air. I mean, I look forward to seeing him every day. He brings a joy and a lightness to work. He loves the game. He loves the process of putting in the work. And he's a hell of a player. I think he's second in the league in three-pointers made after Steph over the last 5 or 6 years. That's a pretty impressive number. So, you know, he's going to be a guy who we rely on for scoring off the bench and you know, a lot of threes, but also a lot of energy. I just like the way he plays. I like the feel when we put him into the game.
I mean, so, we go from there's no more negative energy. If it's not your night, don't bring us down. The vibe is night and day, and then we get all the way to the end. And essentially, let's be real, Buddy Hield is kind of the Clay replacement. I know he's coming off the bench, but in terms of what Clay did for this basketball team, Buddy was imperative. Someone like that who you could count on for a three-pointer, and no one can stop talking about what a, quote, breath of fresh air he is.
Right. 12 shots in 15 minutes last night for my guy, Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm. So,
and how many of them went in?
Eight.
Yeah.
And that is, kind of the Clay replacement because, you know, Buddy's going to come in and just look to score. I don't know how many minutes he's going to play, probably more than 15 on the regular. But when he's in there, look for the ball to go up toward the rim.
I don't know if anybody in the recent memory of Bay Area sports has been more appropriately named than Buddy Hield. Like, Buddy. Buddy, I'm here to shoot and do whatever Steph tells me to do. And when I shoot, it will usually go in. Well, that's my buddy.
That's right.
That's my buddy.
Shavano Rainer Hield. His buddy.
That's his real name?
Yeah. I like Buddy more. Shavano's a good, unique name. But
I don't know if I've ever heard that before.
His actual name.
Never heard that. Say it again.
I believe it's Shavano.
Shavano.
Rainer
Hield.
A.K.A. Buddy Love, Buddy Fresh, Buddy Buckets.
Well, when did he get the buddy?
That's a good question. I'll have to ask him.
Who gave it to him?
I wonder. That feels like a really young, like, hey, come here, buddy. Time for dinner.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey. Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Fremont. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing? Let me turn my radio down here.
Let me clear my throat.
You know, hey, you know, Mark, every once in a while you say something, I'm like, you know, I know he's not talking to me, but let me reach out to my buddy Mark here. You were asking if it's a breath of fresh. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm everybody's buddy now once Buddy arrived. But, I'm listening to you talk, and I don't know how anybody could have watched the Warriors. You know, if you followed the Warriors for a long time, you watched before Clay's injury, you watched, you know, when he came back the last few years, and then you watch, albeit a small sample size against one of the bottom feeders of the NBA, but I don't think any fan who has like a decent knowledge of NBA basketball watched that game last night and didn't think, man, Clay was dragging us down. Everybody saw how often he pouted. You know, when they tried to transition him to the bench, similar to the role that Buddy Hield had last night, the very first game he went to the bench, I'm not even kidding. The dude took 8 shots in 4 minutes. Every single time he touched the ball, it went up. Because like you said, the Dibber said, you know, Clay has this deep yearning for everybody to appreciate him as a player and think, you know, he's been mad since he got voted number 77 in the top 75 voting, right? And I'm watching this team last night, the ball movement, the smiles, the locking in and playing hard defense. And again, he loves Klay. Klay's a legend for the Warriors, but you can't sit there and tell me that you think Klay Thompson at this stage in his career would have fit into the style that they were playing last night. Locking in defensively on both ends. Sure, he can run the floor 2-3, but even when he was sprinting, it looked like the guy was jogging because Klay is shot. Klay is a fringe guy now. They think it's going to work well in Dallas. He's going to stand in the corner. Luka and Kyrie are going to be dancing, doing their thing. And when he doesn't get it, he's going to be pouting. And then when he does get it and he misses, he's still going to be pouting and running back on defense sad. So that brand of basketball last night, that's a winning brand of basketball for this team. And it brought me back to, 7 years ago with Iggy Livingston, swinging the ball, finding the guys open. And you know what? I got a shot, but you got a better shot. I trust you. So, I mean, the way that I saw them play, the vibes, I love it. I love where they're trending. Again, it's Portland. We got to do it against real teams. But, in the four games they played against Portland last year, it was a nail-biter in three of them to the end. So, they blew them out basically at halftime last night. So, I love it. We're trending forward. You know what? I can forget about the Niners for a couple of weeks here with the start of the NBA season. And we got the World Series tomorrow, so go Yankees. Makes me sick to my stomach to say that.
Oh, God.
You guys have a good rest of your evening.
All right, Chris, you too. That's a really good call, although you don't get to forget about the 49ers for a few weeks. You could do it for today, tomorrow if you want.
And come Sunday, we're all going to be locked in. Even though Warriors' home opener is concurrent with the Niners in Dallas, it's going to be a classic two-screen experience, but just the way he was laying that out had me thinking about the old Houston Oilers offense of the 90s with the run and shoot. Because last night, watching the way they play, the ball goes through the hoop, and they grab it, they throw it in, and they are shooting it within 3 and 4 seconds.
Totally.
And that's not always going to work, but it's at least kind of fun to watch a team that is so fast and so eager to get up and down.
Couldn't agree more. And one thing Chris said about Klay's just overwhelming desire to be appreciated by everybody for what he's done, it brought my mind to the first time I looked at Klay ever on a basketball court and went, dude, let that go. Stop being so mad. It wasn't last year. It was the year before. It was when he was throwing up four fingers at all the Suns, when he was leaving the court because he had freaked out at Devin Booker and was getting schooled by Devin Booker. By no stretch do we want this to be a conversation about dancing on Klay Thompson's departure, but I do think it's a fair question about how you feel now about the fact that he's gone. And is that a different feeling than it was? And are you now relieved or glad or whatever word you want that he's gone? 888-957-9570. Those of you on hold, we're coming. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Kurt Warner is also 20 minutes away. This is Willard and Dibs.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.